When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kahn Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. I'll have a story up Thursday going over the Commanders' choices at number two. Of course, we all know who they are. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and got to throw J.J. McCarthy in there because who knows? Anyway, so this is all based on talking to a number of coaches, some on the record, some just anonymous. But just to get their thoughts on where the what they think of these quarterbacks and who they like. And there is one guy that these guys liked more than the others, and I kind of rank them in order. So that'll be out. That should be out Thursday on ESPN.com. Anyway, today I'm joined by former Washington Redskins coach Jay Gruden as we discuss, yes, the quarterbacks. Jay is doing some work for Underdog Fantasy, scouting, you know, doing some analysis stuff with Colt McCoy, of course, another former Washington quarterback. And so I wanted to bring Jay on because he studies this stuff, and I know he studies this stuff, and he's always studied it, and he's really good at evaluating quarterbacks. Whatever you thought of him, the head coach, he's really good at evaluating quarterbacks. That has always been a strength of his and talent. So doesn't mean you hit every time, but he does put the work into it. So I wanted to bring him on to talk about all these quarterbacks, but also not just what does he think about Jaden and Drake and JJ, but also the process and just how do you develop a young quarterback? What do you need to do? Make sure you develop them in the right way. He had experience with Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, did a really good job stepping in as a rookie. How did he do? How did they help him do that? And then also what questions get asked during a meeting in the interview process and how important the visits to the facility are in terms of determining which quarterback you want to take, things that you look for during those meetings. Just wanted to kind of shed a little bit more light on the process as well as the players that they're looking at. And I think I know we're all kind of getting to that point where we're kind of quarterbacked out. About 2 weeks left in this process. So bear with us here. I am going to be having some shows up soon talking about maybe some late round gems that can find, because one thing Adam Peters has done very well is finding those late round gems. Who are some guys that might tempt them in the later rounds that they could hit on? I'll have some people coming on to talk about that and just other various aspects. So, the quarterback is the biggest thing. So that's what kind of drives this bus. But I do want to try and get some other topics addressed, and I'm hoping to have some other people on to talk about these guys, or people to talk specifically about whether it's JJ or Drake May, specifically about them. Still haven't been able to line it up yet, but there's been a lot of phone tag going on with those things. So, or text tag, I guess. Anyway, so there you go. But today it's Jay Gruden. And so here's my conversation. Oh, by the way, I did ask from the club members for some question submissions for Jay, just about these quarterbacks, things they wanted to know. So I was able to get a few of them in there from Mike Stewart. Shout out, Mike. He wanted to know about Jaden Daniels' ability to throw with anticipation, as well as between the hashes. Kind of a big thing here. So I talked to Jay. I asked Jay about that. And then another person, only have his handle, FFLG1418. Shout out to you. He wanted to know, or they wanted to know, who does Jaden Daniels and Drake May remind him of? And then kind of talking about ranking this class and also comparing him to some of the groups like he wanted to know about last year. So anyway, shout out to you guys for your submissions. And thank you for being club members. As always, if you want to be a club member, go to the Empire Media YouTube page, click on join, find your membership level and go from there. So that's it from me. Let's get to my conversation with former Washington coach Jay Gruden.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime. Well, Jay, first of all, it's good to see you again and good to talk to you. You're doing now some work with Colt on Underdog Fantasy. Tell people what you're doing there.
Yeah, we're just getting into it. We broke down some quarterbacks and some of the top receivers in this year's draft. And then we'll go over draft night. Once the draft happens, we'll go over some of the results of what happened in round one. And then when the season gets going, we'll start to break down all the teams and give some predictions for some games and some season totals and all that stuff. So it'll be fun. Colt's always been one of my favorites and great guy to work with, and the people at Underdog have been very good.
I think Colt, I remember talking to him when he was here that he would be a very, very good analyst or a really good head coach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he can do about anything, man. He owns the state of Texas. He's still the man. I always thought he'd be like the governor of Texas, but he's doing great, and he's got the young kids. He's doing great. He's a great father, and this will be a great opportunity for him to get his name out there to maybe do some other things.
And the other thing is you guys use a lot of the coach film too on there, correct?
Yeah, we will be able to use that coach film, which is important when you're trying to study and break down film. You got to have the tape. You got to be able to study the game.
Correct. So let's talk about these quarterbacks, because I know you've studied them, and especially for Washington at the second pick, it seems like there are three guys that are on that list: Jaden, Drake, and then possibly JJ McCarthy. For you right now, how would you rank that group?
It's a close call. You know, I think Jaden probably, with the combination of his athleticism and his arm talent and his accuracy, would probably be my number two pick. Because if you have to play quarterback as a rookie, they have to be athletic and they have to run you out of some arm's way plays. The only issue with Jaden is his stature. You might be concerned about some of the hits he took. He got a concussion against Alabama, get knocked out of that game. That's a concern I have with them. Drake May, I think, is a young 21-year-old kid who's got a long way to go from developing his accuracy and his anticipation and things of that nature. I don't think he's quite ready to jump into the starting role right away, though he'll probably be forced to, but he is a big athletic kid and studies the game extremely well. And then JJ, he's the wild card, because he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. It wasn't his fault. They didn't throw the ball very much. He threw for just under 3,000 yards in both his years at Michigan, but he only lost one game. So he did what Jim Harbaugh asked him to do and produce at a very high level. So I think a lot, I wasn't able to go to his pro day and all that and see him in person and talk to him. A lot's going to be how he did his pro day, how the ball came out of his hand, how he does in these individual meetings with people, how he retains information. And that's the case for all these guys. You know, if Jaden's the best athlete and throws the ball very well, but he doesn't retain information very good, he might drop and JJ might rise or Drake might rise. So unfortunately, I haven't been in those meetings. Right. A lot of it has to be, based on the mental capacity of these guys. Like CJ Stroud, obviously, he took some weird test and didn't do very well, but His football knowledge is exceptional. You can see that when he plays for the Texans. So these guys, if they're asked to come in and play as a rookie and start, they got to be able to retain a lot of information. And it's mentally, it's a grind for these guys. And I think the one that can handle it the best, if it's close, that's the one you take.
So obviously that's where those top 30 visits come into play. I'm sure big way. How important do you think, because if you're, and again, you know, Washington's been very secret, Adam Peters, you know, Dan Quinn, very secretive about this, which they should be. But when you're where do you think you would be at with this? If you're trying to decide, when do you think you would really want to know or need to know to settle on a guy? I mean, would you want to wait till after those in-home visits, I guess, so to speak?
Oh, for sure. You gotta get as much information as you can. Make sure their health records all come out positive and they're good. Caleb has never taken a physical. So you never know if Caleb might be there too. If he drops, Chicago takes Jaden. Who knows what's going to happen there? They trade out of the first pick. I don't know. But you got to be prepared. The good thing is, you know that you're going to have one of the top two. So obviously you got your pick of the litter pretty much. But the home visits are very important. Bringing the quarterbacks into your room. You get them for a couple hours, 2-3 hours in your building. You're talking football. You're talking your terminology, how they can retain that information. And most of these guys, if they played significant amount of football, they'll be able to do it. But still, you can still get a good gauge for their attention to detail, how their passion is for the game of football, you know, what's important to them. Can't really gauge how much of a good leader they'll be, but you kind of get that feeling of how he interacts with other people, which is very important for a quarterback, you know? Yeah. So yeah, all those things will weigh into the decision that the Commanders have to make.
How do you test, gauge their ability to retain information? Like how would you do things? I remember talking to you about this several years ago, but how would you go about that to see, like, how does this kid retain information?
I used to send them a playbook, a week or two before they came to our visit, not a whole playbook, but a condensed version of a playbook with some runs, some formations, some play, some pass concepts, quick game, bootlegs. And then we'd quiz him on it and see what he knew and understood. You know, I might put a mistake in there, see if he picked up on the mistake, and most of them do. And they study it, and they're pretty well, they're all pretty well equipped to come in here. Some of them struggle a little bit, but for the most part, all the top guys are really well prepared and understand football and do a pretty good job.
Can you tell when you're watching these quarterbacks? Like, let's go with Jaden, first of all. So when you're watching him, can you tell, what are the things that you're looking for with him? We see the athleticism, but what are you looking for out of him?
I think the most impressive thing in my mind about Jaden is how much he's gotten better from Arizona State to LSU. And I know he had better people at LSU, but I think his pocket awareness has just improved greatly. I think at Arizona State, he was looking to run every chance he could get. You can see him now as he progresses into his fifth year of playing college football, his ability to go through progressions and keep his feet still and calm. And then when he has to take off, obviously he can do that. But my most impressive thing about Jaden coming out is his ability to stay in the pocket, keep his feet clean, and get to a second, third, and fourth progression and throw the ball accurately. He does have some accuracy issues from time to time. He gets lazy with his feet. He throws off his back foot from time to time, but most quarterbacks do. And he has to protect himself a lot better going on the next level. He can't do those reckless, get hit face plays. And I'm sure he'll do that, and they'll talk about that. But that's why I like Jaden at two.
So when you're – two of the things that you would hear about Jaden during this process, well, just people wondering about – because LSU didn't have a lot of throws over the middle as often as maybe some other teams. They had great guys on the outside. They can get down the field, et cetera. Did you see the throws with anticipation from him?
They didn't have that a lot in their playbook as far as anticipating throws. A lot of maybe on the outside, the guys in bump and run, they'd run a seam or, try to go stop. We call it a thunder route, a fade stop, whatever you want to call it. A lot of those have to throw with anticipation. In fact, he threw one against Florida State. It was picked because he was expecting the receiver to stop, and he fell down. It was picked, almost a pick. I think it was a pick six. Yeah. So he can't throw with anticipation, obviously, but that'll take some time and some work. And I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury has a lot of anticipation throws anyway. He throws a lot of these weird routes as well. So, but he has the ability, he has the accuracy, he has the touch on the deep ball stuff. So, he has everything you need a quarterback to have as far as throwing within the pocket. And then he has the extra intangible of getting out of the pocket and running.
I guess along with that too, is the throws over the middle, because again, they didn't seem to have a lot of those. Would that, if you don't see a lot of that, would that concern you? Or do you say, like, hey, I saw these here, that's enough?
No, it wouldn't concern me. You know, I think you get him at the pro day. I think he did some at the pro day, you know, and throwing over the middle is really a lot easier than throwing outside the numbers. You know, some quarterbacks, it's just right over the middle. Those are a hell of a lot easier than throwing outside the numbers and throwing those deep corner routes and those stomp routes on the outside and those back shoulder fades. We know he can do that. And obviously the throws across the middle, sit down over the ball, those are easy. Shallow crosses, those are easy. Basic crosses, I think he won't have any trouble.
Then with Drake, and we talk about the ceiling. When first of all, let me back up a minute, because you say, well, if you want a guy who can play right away, Jaden. But some people might say, well, if you take the best guy, but do you think like Jaden's a guy that not only can play right away, but can develop at a higher level than some of the others?
I think, like I said, his rate of improvement has been incredible, in my opinion. And that's why I like Jaden right now. Now, Drake hasn't played as much football. He's got 2 years at North Carolina. So give him another 3 years at North Carolina, no telling what he'd look like. That's the issue that you have. You have more of a finished product with Jaden, and a guy, I think, ready to start right now. And I do agree with you. Drake has a chance to make a little bit better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's got a good arm. And I do worry about some of his accuracy issues. They can be worked on and corrected with time with his feet and his fundamentals and all that stuff. He's an interesting guy. I know he loves football. He comes from a football university that did a lot of pro concepts, which is good. He didn't have a great offensive line or great receivers this year. That's why he took a step back. But and again, if you get Drake in a meeting room and you can see what kind of leader he is and how people get better around him, he might be the guy over Jaden. I just don't know these guys personally.
Right. And when you're watching it, what do you say, as a coach, I can help fix this? I know, you can't fix everything. But yeah. What do you feel like you can fix when you're watching a film? Okay, this is something that's correctable. This is something I'm not sure about.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he's only played 2 years at North Carolina. He's 21 years old. You know, he's going to go against guys like Russell Wilson, who's 38, Kirk Cousins, who's 38, Aaron Rodgers is over 40. So these guys have been playing for a very long time. And, just from a fundamental standpoint, from a protection standpoint, he got hit a lot, free runners in his face a lot. So he's thrown off his back foot. You hope that with a clean pocket, he will have the necessary fundamentals to get the ball out and anticipate throws where he doesn't have to take a lot of hits. But the good thing is, like Josh Allen, he has the size and the strength. And very similar to Josh coming out of Wyoming. I remember doing Josh. I was like, this guy misses a lot of throws. He's not very accurate. And some people say the same thing about Drake May, but Josh has made it work. And I think Drake can do the same thing with a lot of work and a lot of throws, a lot of fundamental, getting used to his receivers, all that stuff will make him better.
It's funny because one of the things, and you wonder, how does accuracy travel from college to NFL? Is it a hard thing to correct going from one level to the other?
It is. I personally didn't really like Josh Allen that much coming out. That shows how much I know, because I didn't think, he could be that inaccurate. And I didn't realize he was 6'5", 260, and could run people over like he does. I would have taken that into account. We weren't really looking for a quarterback either at that time. I think there's a lot of things that can be corrected, but the size and the ability to run and create plays with his legs and off-schedule plays is what Drake can do as well. And some teams will take that. And he's a guy with the quarterback design runs that he can run the powers with the pulling guards and all that stuff. I don't think Jaden, you want to put Jaden in that. He can do some zone reads and all that stuff, but not some of the direct runs that Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen do. Drake May can do those, which opens up your playbook even more. And he'll continue to get better with his accuracy with time. That's why, he may be the second pick, because he has, like you say, a higher ceiling possibly.
And that, that's why I say, what other things would you look for to see, okay, this is something, he's not there yet, but we see this, and you can get there because either, something about his personality. What would you look for to make sure that you can
make every throw? When he was ACC Player of the Year and he had downs from Colts, he was pretty effective and he's pretty damn good. And you've seen him make all types of throws. You've seen him run, keep plays alive. You've seen him miss some throws here and there. But now I think the difference is just how he's progressed. You see him at his pro day. How do you do it as pro day? Then you get with them and see how he is with other people. You talk to the coaches, you talk to players who've played with them and all that stuff. And you just try to get a gauge. There's no really exact science in this, John. There really is.
Right. I was going to ask you too, because it's such a, this might be a dumb question, but why is it such a hard position? Because do teams miss because it's so important? You got to reach for a guy sometimes, or what goes on
with
that?
It's a combination of things. Sometimes it's not the right fit. Sometimes the coaches don't do a good job of the young quarterback. The young quarterbacks are forced to play and they're not quite ready. This is a tough game. all the coverages and all the blitzes and all the runs you got to save, formations. And it is a very difficult game for these young guys to jump into. They're in college. They're looking over the sideline. The coach is calling a play. They clap their hands and they catch it and they throw it. You know what I mean? A lot of people can do that. Not a lot of people can go to the line of scrimmage and recognize the defense and communicate it to the other people and then execute at a very high level. It's just very difficult. The speed of the game, the different coverages you see, the different blitzes you see, the reaction time has got to be that much quicker from college to pros, and some people can't handle it. And then they get on a team that's not very good. Most of these top draft picks, they're drafted number one because they're terrible. They're not very good. Chicago's an exception. They played very good at the end of the year, and they got the number one pick from Arizona, I think it was. So I think Caleb will do fine there. I think that's a great situation there. And then Washington, they got offensive line issues, which they've addressed a little bit. So there's defensive issues. These guys are forced to play at a high level. And then you have some rookies that really come in and do well, and everybody's comparing them to Patrick Mahomes. So, hey, this guy's like Patrick Mahomes. No, yeah. He's not going to be like Patrick Mahomes. All right, just maybe eventually. And then CJ put an unfair ceiling on everybody last year doing what he did. But you see, what the kid from Alabama for Carolina did, he struggled quite a bit. So there's no exact science. You got to get the guy in the right system with some good people around him. Then hopefully the guy is very mentally tough, because he's going to go through some stretches where it's not going to be very good and people are going to get on him. Oh, he's a failure. He's a bust, blah, blah, blah. You know, Peyton Manning went 1-11, I think it was, the rookie. And obviously, that's what you kind of hope. You put these guys in the game. They're going to struggle a little bit, but they're going to gain knowledge and confidence moving forward and just continue to get better and better. And that's what the quarterback position is all about.
As you know, like being a sports reporter, it's really easy to sit on this side and say, they should do this, or this is what teams should do. Now that you're over on this side, kind of analyzing the game, are there things that you would say, like, if I were going back and do it now, this is how I would gauge if a guy can go up to the line and read it and make those adjustments? Are there things that you do in those meetings or anything like that to gauge, can they do that?
Well, a lot of guys can do it, but then executing when they do it is the whole different story. And that's something, for whatever reason, some guys don't handle pressure very well and don't execute when times are tough in critical situations. And that's what it's all about. And then some guys like Patrick comes in and stiff arms a defensive lineman, spins out of there, throws a sidearm ball left-handed to Kelsey for a first down, and they keep the drive alive and they win at the end. So you just never know. These guys are asked to do a whole lot. Some can do it, some can't. And there's very few that are, the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL are making a hell of a lot of money for a reason, because there's not many of them.
Right. I always like when Andy Reid calls a left-handed pass by Mahomes. I always think it's a good job by Andy.
So. Yeah, exactly right.
Does Jaden remind you of anybody?
Well, the way he looks on tape, I coach Josh Johnson. Now, obviously, everybody's going to say Josh Johnson, but he runs like him. He throws like him. He's a hell of a lot more accurate than Josh, but that's what he looks like, the way he plays so upright. His arm strength is kind of questionable to me. Sometimes I think his arm strength, he looks like Teddy Bridgewater. He could throw it far enough, throwing a football, but running, he looks like Josh because of the speed that he had and all that stuff. But, combination of ability to run and throw the ball accurately and on the move is pretty important nowadays. And that's what they're going to get with Jaden.
When you had Andy Dalton, rookie year, why did he work so well? I know people are he had a good career. And he was good.
Really
he was good for you guys. So what was he able to do right away that helped him as a rookie, and what traits maybe did he have?
We won 30 games in 3 years with Andy.
Yeah.
And, went to the playoffs 3 years in a row with them and won the division once. So he did pretty good as a young kid. What was important, first of all, it was the strike year. We didn't even have an off season.
That's right.
We had a drafted guy that could really handle information, and Andy played 4 years at TCU. And he's very, very smart. That helps. We had a really good defense, so I wasn't trying to force the issue on every third down and 12. Hey, take a 7-step drop and rip it, 30 yards down a field. Sometimes we call a draw or a quick game and hope the guys break a tackle and we'd punt. And then he just continued to get better. We got better around him on offense. We got AJ Green, we got Marvin Jones, we got Mo Sanu, we got Giovanni Bernard, we got Tyler Eifert. So we had some weapons around him where we could get the ball out quick and he can make great decisions. He's very accurate with the short intermediate stuff, the long stuff. He missed a few here and there, but accuracy, touch, anticipation, he had all that and was able to move the ball when it counted and not make critical mistakes.
if you could say like this is, you say Jaden's the guy you take now, who would be the guy you say 5 years from now, this is the guy I'd want to have?
Probably Drake. Drake May. He's 21 years old. And JJ too. JJ, I just don't know because he hasn't been asked to do a whole lot of things, but I just think Drake May with his toughness, his physical style, is kind of what you're looking for nowadays. He's more of the prototypical size, strength, athletic quarterback that you want nowadays. And we just got to fix some of his accuracy issues, but he'll make up for it with his ability to run and break some tackles on third and eight and get you the first down.
So if that's the case, why not just take him now?
Definitely. They might, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think, you know, I think people will get enamored with Jaden's athletic ability. Anybody who runs for over 200 yards and throws for 200 yards in the same game is pretty impressive. It's against the Florida Gators, right? So there's a lot of things that Jaden has done athletically and throwing the football within the pocket that I think just puts him, I think if you got to play right now and you got to win games right now, which most coaches do, otherwise you get fired. You probably take the better player at this time, and that's Jaden.
Does Washington maybe have the ability, because it's the first year of a new regime, do they have maybe the ability to take someone that's like, whom, you know, if they believe that one guy has a higher ceiling in 5 years, is that a guy, you know, because it's the first year, would they have more of a leeway to take a guy like that?
Yeah, I think they do. And yeah, as long as you see progress in practice and all that stuff, you don't have to play them. They got Marcus Mariota. They could play for a little while early, which is important for some of these guys. These guys are forced into action and they're not ready. Andy was ready because he got every rep in training camp. He got every first team rep. I didn't have any quarterback controversy. It was him and Bruce Gradkowski. Bruce would get a rep at the end of practice, and that was it. Andy got every single rep, and that's what's going to happen with these guys. They got, if they're expected to play, as soon as they get in the building, they need to get every rep from day one and OTAs to training camp, and it's got to be no controversy whatsoever. But, you know, if they're not quite ready, if you can gauge it, then maybe Marcus Mariota gets some first team reps and see how he does, but and then let these guys develop. But it's just very hard. I know coaches' leash is very short nowadays. You know, right. If you go 1-15 or 1-16, whether it's your first year or second year, there's a good chance you're out of there. So I'm sure Dan still feels a sense of got to win now. They have a pretty good team, and just, you know, but they got to get the quarterback position right.
It's so hard. And now with JJ, what I've talked to some people who say, well, Michigan uses some NFL type concept, so it gives them a good read on him. Then other people say Michigan's offense was too simplistic, so you don't have the great read on him. What do you think?
I agree with the second part. I don't think, I think they're pretty simplistic, really. Didn't ask him to do a whole lot. He obviously could handle it. When he was asked to spread it out a little bit, he played pretty well. He had a couple bad interceptions against a lesser team. I think it was Toledo or somebody with Central, somebody, yeah. You know, didn't really matter. They were blowing him out, so he probably took some unnecessary risks. But he's a guy that's very efficient. I compared him on one of the shows to Alex Smith in the fact that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He can get you out of trouble with his legs. But people are going to be like, oh, he doesn't. He just throws a check down, blah, blah. And you get bored with it. You get bored with winning, John. You get bored with winning. That's all he does. And that's all Alex did as well. So he's a guy that if you got some people around you that can, you know, a very good defense, he's not going to make mistakes. You're going to punt sometimes. You're going to back people up, but he's going to get the ball and do the right thing with it and not screw it up.
How, like, when you look at him compared to the other two, how long do you think it might take him to develop, and what things would you want to work on with him?
Well, you just got to see more from him, see how he handles different concepts going to, you know, from, you know, if you're pure progression or reading single high, two high safety, how he can get off and how quickly he can do it with his feet going from here to check down over here and manufacturing throwing lanes and all that stuff on third and eight and third and nine. They didn't have a lot of third and eights at Michigan. Hell, they were first down, second and three, first down, second and four, first down, second and three. They're just pounding people in submission. So he didn't have any of these critical situations in the red zone or third downs really to deal with. So that's just something you're going to have to see how he handles it. If he handles it great, you got yourself a guy. If he doesn't, well, on to the next guy.
And it's funny because, like, he's a guy too that somebody was telling me in January that the more he's around teams, the more they're going to like him, because just some of the stuff you're talking about on the board and just some of the leadership stuff.
Yeah. So that's the same with Drake May. I'm sure Jaden's the same way. You know, most of these guys don't have the success. We're not talking about guys in the first five picks unless they have that intangible of being leaders and handling information and doing the right thing. Now, how they transfer to the NFL will be the difference in some team success and some team's failure.
How does this class compare? I don't know how much you studied like last year's class or whatever. How does this class compare to the last couple of years maybe?
Oh, it's probably, well, we hope it's better because, you know, I think the only guy on our team still is kid from Jacksonville from a couple of years ago. Right. So you just never know. You just never know. Jaden, his issue is he going to stay healthy? You know, is he going to stay healthy? And he does miss some throws from time to time. Is he going to handle the pressure the NFL gives him? Obviously, Caleb is the same thing. Caleb played small against Notre Dame. You know, if he can keep stand upright and get the ball out of his hands, he's got a chance to be special because of his ability to create plays. Drake obviously has a high ceiling, but is he going to get there? And who's he going to get there with? Does he have enough players around him that's going to make him better? A good, strong running game, some receivers that can do things after the catch. You know, and Michael Penix, we even talked about him. Right. He's like, look, he's got a great arm, great deep touch accuracy, which teams will fall in love with, but he doesn't get out of harm's way quite as much. But he did run a 4.5 40, which I was shocked by that. So he is athletic, and he's got the two bad knees. And then, of course, JJ, you know, JJ's JJ. You just never know, John. I mean, if I was a betting guy, I would say Caleb will be the best out of the bunch, and then the second guy will be Drake May, and the third guy will probably be Jaden for the long haul.
Right. And if Jaden's big thing is the staying healthy, if you knew like, okay, I know, first of all, how easy is it to teach guys? Because to me, this is a mindset. Someone like, oh, just teach them to slide. You've had quarterbacks who like to run. How hard is it to get him into the mindset of protect yourself?
It's not so much when he's outside the pocket. He has taken some hits outside the pocket. It's inside the pocket that you worry about. You're just getting his legs tangled up into a pretzel and all that stuff. His ability to, you know, hopefully he's very limber. And, you know, Kirk Cousins wasn't a very thickly built quarterback either, but he has managed to stay healthy other than Achilles this past year because his flexibility that he has and his ability to get out of harm's way. So, you just never know. I don't know how to predict that. Injuries, right. And all that stuff. Obviously, you can stay away from some of the inside quarterback design runs. You got to have the quarterback draw because he's electric at that. Right. But some of the other ones, you probably stay away from, keep him outside where he can see people and get out of bounds or slide.
One of the big things, this will be just a couple more things, but like pressure to sack ratio is a big thing for the analytics group. So, and that, you know, I don't know how much you ever look at that stuff. Basically, it's like how many sacks are you taking versus how much pressure are you getting? You see that as being an issue. Jaden's number is higher when you watch a film. I don't know that there's like a theme that stands out as to why. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good stat. I think it's worth looking at. And then you try to dive into it and look at the sacks. I always like to watch the sack reels of each quarterback and then how they handle when they get hit hard, how they handle the next play. You know, are they rattled? Jaden had some pretty good time this year at LSU. They did a pretty good job, but when they did get pressure, he did take quite a few sacks. Caleb took a ton of sacks, over 90 sacks and fumbled 30 times. So that's a concern for him too. Yeah. And all these young guys, I mean, they're going to have people, free runners. They're going to have people coming off the edge. You're just going to have to deal with it. And you hope that they can respond and get out of trouble with their legs and throw it away when they have to.
Who handled the pressure the best, do you think?
As far as the quarterbacks coming out?
Yeah. The quarterbacks coming out. Who handled that, the pressure in the pocket, the best? And what was there a theme with Jaden that led to some of those?
Well, they threw the ball a lot. You know, they didn't have a very strong running game, and they gave up a shit ton of points, John. Yes. I mean, the defense was absolutely horrific. So he was forced to throw the ball a lot. You know, obviously JJ didn't have that much pressure to deal with because they were ahead a lot. You know, I think Michael Penix, they threw the ball a lot too. And I think he handles pressure pretty good within the pocket. He does a good job. Drake is a big, strong guy that can see down the field. I feel very good about his ability, but his line was terrible too. Mm-hmm. I think they all handle it at times very good. And like all quarterbacks, you know, it's a train wreck at a time or two. The biggest thing is taking a sack is not the end of the world. You're going to give up a sack. Protecting the ball is what you got to do. And that's why Caleb has an issue. Yeah. Jaden has fumbled a few times and they just get reckless with the football because they think they can get away from everything.
Last thing. So who are some quarterbacks and you look back on, you do all this evaluation, everybody does it. Who are some of the bigger ones where you've been surprised by one way or another?
Probably I mentioned Josh Allen. I don't know.
Was there someone you thought would hit that just was like, oh, wow, they flamed out more than I thought they would or something?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Just off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of them.
We could talk about, there's been so many guys that, you know, a lot of first rounders that have come through that have failed. And some of them are still young. That's the whole thing. And people write these guys off after 3 or 4 years. There have been quarterbacks that have got better in their 30s. And you know, Rich Gannon is a great example. He played at Minnesota, didn't do anything, went to the Raiders in his 30s and lit it up for 4 or 5 years. So these guys need some time and time to develop. But I hate to just trounce on guys. Ah, he failed. He was a bust. I thought he was going to be good, or thought he was going to be bad. He was going to be good. But, you know, it's a crap shoot, and it's a very tough position to play, and it takes a special individual to do it, and both mentally and physically, and there's not many of them.
And then I pause the last thing. So when this team, they have like Tavita Pritchard as a quarterbacks coach, David Blaugh as an assistant. You know, they have guys who have experienced coaching quarterbacks. You had that too with your staff too. You know, so is how important is that, or do you need more like the mentorship type? Which one is more important, or is it both, I guess?
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of both. You don't want to overcrowd the quarterback's brain with different people talking to. I try to keep the message clear and concise with our quarterbacks. It was my voice. If it was Sean McVay, he was an extension of my voice. But I didn't want to have this guy coming in and telling, hey, this is how they did it in New England. This is, hey, this guy coming in here, hey, try this at the Linus. You know, no, I just want one clear voice and let's handle it and hopefully it develops. And I'll take ideas, but I want it to come from myself or the coordinator and go from there.
Jay, appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. And everybody check it out on Underdog Fantasy. How often does that stuff come out?
You know, I'm not sure. We just did a thing. It's I think they have their own YouTube channel. I'm just getting involved in it. So yeah. So there you go.
There you go. Thanks, Jay.
All right, John. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Jay for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back on Thursday with another episode, so I'll talk to you next time.